Lord, I thank you that this morning it's no different than when you walked in the flesh on the earth. You're here just like you were back then, 2,000 years ago. You're here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're here in people. You walk in our midst. You speak to us just like you spoke to us over 2,000 years ago. And Lord, your words are spirit and they're life. No one spoke like you did. The religious people of your day were astounded. They hadn't heard someone speak with such authority. There was something in your voice. And Lord, that's what I'm asking for this morning. We need your anointing here. We need you to speak. We need the Spirit to convey the things of the Spirit. We need you, God, to open up our hearts and our understanding to receive the things of the Spirit, because the natural mind cannot. So God, I pray you will supersede our natural reasoning mind, Lord, and I pray you'll speak to us in the inner man. I pray your word will not leave us the same this morning. I pray, God, when we leave here today, you will have imparted what you desire to impart into us. I pray you will open up hearts this morning that don't know your voice. I pray you will awaken their hearts to the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd who laid his life down for us, so that we can become the sheep of your pasture. We need a shepherd. We need you to lead us. We need you, God, to guide us, God. We cannot live without you, Lord. So we're looking to you this morning, Jesus. You are the great one. You are the good shepherd. There's no other voice we can follow but yours. So God, give us ears this morning. You said your sheep hear your voice. And they follow you, didn't they? Because they know your voice. God, help us to know your voice. To hear the things you want us to hear this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that obviously is my desire to you whenever I share with you. I know I get mixed in there, but that my prayer is, God will supersede me this morning and speak to you. In spite of my weaknesses and abilities, I know He's able to do that, and I'm trusting Him to do that. I was actually going to share this Friday night, but the Lord kind of kept me from doing that. So I want to share a word with you this morning about being called by God. Being called by God. And I want to look at Acts 7, just to start off. We're going to be looking at Moses when God called him into the ministry. But I want to look at something first in Acts 7, verse 23, where Stephen is given an account to those that were about to stone him. He was giving an account of all that God did for the children of Israel. And he's speaking about Moses here in verse 23. And it says about Moses that when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart. How did that come into his heart? God put it on his heart to go and visit his brethren. And that word visit, when you really look at it in the Hebrew, it's more to look upon. He went and he looked. He saw what his brethren, because he was an Israelite who at birth was by faith, his mom put him in a little ark and sent him down the river, and the Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him as his own. He was reared in the Egyptian palace, but he was a Hebrew. And the Hebrews were persecuted. The Hebrews were slaves. And even though he knew he was a Hebrew, he really didn't understand their bondage. But God had something in mind for Moses' life, and God laid it on his heart to go and see so he can understand what his people were going through. So he went to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. But I want to just make something clear here, because we're going to go to Exodus now. Because what I want us to understand is that God saw first. Because God always sees. And God is never unaware of those that are in bondage, those that are suffering, those that are hurting, those that need to be set free, need to be released from the power of the enemy that oppresses them and holds them captive and in bondage. God sees. God is not unaware of what's going on in Dry Ridge and Grant County. God sees. He hears the groanings from all the different homes. He hears the groanings in the park, in the tents, in the schools, in the businesses. He hears hearts groaning under the weight of the bondage of darkness and sin that people are under. But in Exodus 3, starting here in verse 7, God is speaking and he says, it says, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now, this includes us. This includes you. God saw you. God sees you. God knows what you go through. Aren't you glad? He knows. He sees. He's the God who sees, we're told in the Old Testament. When a woman felt forsaken and that all was lost, God revealed himself to her as the God who sees. So he sees. He saw me when I was at my worst. He saw me when I was in bondage, when there was no hope for me. He saw me. He heard my cries. He heard your cries in the middle of the night. He hears your cries. He still does this for me. Even though he has saved me, he has brought me out of that darkness, there's still times we go through it. There's still times we feel alone. There's still times we're hurting. And God sees. And he always makes a way. He always sends someone or does something to help us out of whatever situation we might find ourselves in. And that's what's going on here. He sees. He hears their cry because of their taskmasters, because I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them. So who's coming? Who's going to do this? God. So God sees Dry Ridge, he sees Grant County, and God, I believe, has already purposed in his heart, I am going to work in Grant County. I have something I'm going to do. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, here's the key thing I want you to hear. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. I thought you were going to do this. Yeah, but through you. I'm sending you. Paul talks about this in 5, at the end there, and he says, we are his ambassadors. In other words, we are sent out into the world representing him. And that's all Moses was. He was representing God. And Paul says in that chapter, he says, it's as if God pleads through us for people to be reconciled to God, brought back to God. And that's what his people needed. They were in bondage. I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God sees. And I believe anyone that names the name of Christ, anyone who has put their faith in Christ, is called by Christ. Every person in this room is called to go. None are exempt. What that looks like is up to God. It works itself out in different ways for different people, but every believer is called by God to go in His name and to go out into the highways and byways to represent God as His ambassador and to allow God through your life to release those in bondage, those crying in the middle of the night, those that are without hope, those that all they have known their whole life, they grew up in it. That's what it was like. They were 400 years in bondage, the children of Israel. So there was generations. That was all they knew, bondage. There are people living around us. There's been generations of physical abuse, of sexual abuse, of alcoholism, all kinds of things, generation after generation, and the kids grow up in it, and it's all they know. And it's a hopeless situation. But yet there's a cry. There's something in them that says, there's got to be something else. There's got to be a way out. It's a groaning. It's something only God can see. But if we allow ourselves, we will see. Moses went. Moses saw. God is calling us to go and to see. But with the seeing comes the burden, comes the understanding, the pain. There's a pain in seeing. Do you think it pained God's heart to see His people in that bondage? You think God was late or unaware or didn't care because He waited 400 years? No, that's God is sovereign, and God's thinking and understanding and ways are not our ways. And God understands sometimes where things need to get to where He intervenes and does what only He can do. So no man can take the glory. Because think about it, Egypt is the most powerful nation of the world in that time. And God is telling one man to go against this nation and to release His people. And so we understand Moses' struggle, which we'll look at a little bit of. Really? Really, God? First of all, do you understand who I am? Do you understand my inabilities and all this baggage I have? I want to say to you this morning, God's not concerned about your baggage. He's not concerned about your weaknesses. He's not concerned about your inabilities. God chooses the weak, the vile, the things that are nothing to accomplish His works, so that no man can glory in the flesh. But God would get all the glory. Let's look here at the process. Because there's a process, it just doesn't happen all at once. Watchman Nee said this about God's call and how He prepares us. He says, no one is equipped to work simply because he's learned some teachings. You know, we have a lot of conferences in America, and there's nothing wrong with conferences, but we know a lot. We have a lot of methods, we have a lot of teachings, we have a lot of books. But that, just knowing things, just learning things mentally, does not equip you to go and do the work of God. And that's basically what he's saying. Can one whose inner workings are wrong supply the need of the church? The basic lesson we must learn is to be transformed into a vessel fit for the master's use. In other words, God has to take us through a process. God has to prepare our vessel, our lives, so that he can effectively work with us. And typically, it's bringing us to an end of ourselves. And he does it in the wilderness, through trials, through suffering, through circumstances, just like he did with Moses. This can only be done through the breaking of the outward man. It's kind of like a seed. I think he describes it this way in one of his books. There's a husk around the seed. The seed is where the life is at. If I'm going to get something to grow, and I just leave a seed out on the counter and it stays dry, what's going to happen? Nothing. But that seed, it's dead. But there's a little thing inside that husk. But when you put it in the ground, there's moisture, there's stuff that works on that husk to soften it, whatever, it cracks open, and then that the little seed inside is able to germinate, and then the roots start coming out, and that life begins to spring out of something that was dead. But that outer shell has to be broken. That outer shell is like our flesh. Our flesh has to be done away with. That what I mean by that is our own strength, our own abilities, our own belief in ourselves. And God, because we're hard-headed, because we just don't get it, has to bring us through a process. We get many pictures of this in Scripture. You know, the clay on the potter's wheel. You ever study that? It's a pretty intense process, getting that clay ready to mold. Because you got to get all the junk out of the clay first. And you're constantly pounding it and getting things out and pounding it again and mashing it and bounding it. Another thing is, you know, God chastens us, and it's like, that's like a very violent action that's talking about. But that's what God brings us through to prepare us. And Moses, you know, when he went to look on the suffering of his people, what happened? Anyone know what happened? He saw one guy beating another guy, and he took it upon himself to kill the Egyptian that was beating one of the Israelites. Bad idea. This is Moses trying to do it in his own thinking and his own strength. And, you know, he winds up realizing, because the next day they're like, oh, you know, he tried to intervene on something else. And they're like, oh, you're going to judge us like the Egyptian you buried yesterday? And he freaked out and he got in fear and he ran for his life. But God got him where he needed him. He went to Midian. And he was there under the potter's hand for a time. And then God came to him. And he revealed himself to him in a burning bush. Now, part of the call in our life is coming aside and listening to God. And God uses many things to get our attention. For Moses, it was this bush that was burning, but yet wasn't burning. And Moses sees this bush, and it says he drew aside to see what it was, and God began to speak to him. And I believe the church today is so distracted by the things of this world by our lives in this world, that we need to take the time to come aside and to see and to hear the things God wants us to hear. And we have to take time to do that. And I believe He's going to bring things into our lives that help us to do that. And I think He's doing it in some of your lives. But you have to do what Moses did. You have to step aside and see. You have to make that choice. God, are you trying to get my attention? God, are you trying to speak to me? And that's what Moses was doing. So God calls him. And listen to what it says. It says, verse 2 here in Exodus 3, verse 2. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called. Jesus said, if you go into the closet and you pray to the Father, there the Father will see you. There the Father will hear you. Someone said that to me one day, and it taught me the significance of when I take time, when I literally go aside somewhere and get alone with God, God's going to be there with me and God's going to speak to me. That's His promise. Jesus said that if I would do that, my Father would see me in secret. He wants that with all of us. He wants to speak to you. God has things He wants to say to you. He's got things He wants you to do. He's got things He wants to reveal to you about Himself. About other people, that things He wants you to see, places He wants you to go, things He wants you to say and do. But we have to turn aside as Moses did. And God saw. God saw, and He called to him from the midst of the bush, and He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. He's revealing himself to Moses. That's what happens when we get alone with God. He reveals himself. We give him an opportunity to open our hearts, to open his word to us, to speak to us. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then it says, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. And we heard that. But God, after he calls him in verse 10, listen to what Moses says in verse 11. And this is what we do. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children out of Egypt? Why do we say that to God? Why do we do that? When we're out and God says, go talk to that person. Who am I, Lord? What can I say? You're a child of God. You're a saint set apart for God. You are of a vessel of honor. If you're truly God's, you are a vessel of honor that God wants to fill and sanctify and send. Who am I, Lord? Who am I, Lord? And he said, I will certainly be with you, Moses. Don't worry. I will be with you. I will be with you. This shall be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Jesus got in a lot of trouble for saying that. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That is our call, people. Ambassadors, Jesus has sent me to you, sir. Jesus has sent me to you, ma'am. God has something for you, miss. And I'm simply here to tell you what he would like to give to you. That's all we are. You understand that. Peter understood that when the crippled man was there at the temple. Why are you looking at me? I don't have what you need, but rise up and be healed. He gave him what Jesus gave him, the power to heal people, but it was Jesus through him. You don't have to worry. Moreover, verse 15, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. His representatives, his ambassadors, that's what we are. I believe God will be the one to empower us. Exodus 4 continues with Moses doubting. I hear this a lot from believers. Verse 1, Moses said, suppose they will not believe me. Listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand. Take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, and he caught it, and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And God went on, and he made his hand leprous. He stuck it in his bosom. He took it out. It was whole again. God was trying to teach Moses something. He was basically saying, Moses, I am going to be with you in a miraculous way. I'm not just going to give you things to say, but with my word and with the things I have given you to say, I am going to give you power that will testify, that will witness that the words are true. And that's important. But look what Moses says in verse 10. After all that God is telling what he's going to do, miracle after miracle, Moses says, oh my Lord, but I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. Moses actually had some kind of speech impediment. Even though we read in Acts, it says he was mighty in word and deed. That doesn't mean he spoke eloquent. It means when he did say something, it was powerful. It means God was in his words. And that is very powerful when God is in your words. If God's not in your words, they're not going to accomplish anything. That's why we need the anointing of God on our lives. We cannot convey the message of God through intellect. We need the power of the Holy Spirit upon our bodies. We need the anointing of God because God's word is spirit. And it has to be conveyed in spirit. And unless we're broken, unless we understand that, unless we're going to God, trusting in Him, holding faith in Him, looking to Him, relying on Him, Spending time with Him to hear Him. Allowing Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Daily walking with Him. He won't be in our words. He'll get a word in here or there, maybe. But God wants to do so much more with our words. We got enough words. We need words that are anointed. We need words that, when it's spoken, pierces someone's heart. Breaks the power of darkness over someone's life. That authority is only found in Christ. It's by His Spirit. Moses' words meant nothing if they weren't from God. The Lord said to him, and I want you to hear this morning, who has made man's mouth? Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what you should say. Didn't Jesus also promise us that? Don't worry about what you got to say. Trust me, just open your mouth. I'll put my words in your mouth. You know how many times God has helped me in that way? I know He's used many of you in that way. He wants to do that a lot more. Boldness to speak the word of God. I will be with you. I'll open your mouth. I'll teach you what you should say. But he said, oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Listen to what it says now. The anger of the Lord was aroused. That says something about when we just won't believe God. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. Look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, which you shall do the signs. I believe Moses missed out on being the actual tool that God would speak through. God still accomplished what he wanted to, but I think Moses was limiting God here because he just couldn't believe God could get past his impediment. Don't limit God. Don't limit what God wants to do through your life. Stop looking at God in the natural reasoning mind with your intellect. He's so much bigger than that. He's supernatural. That means he's outside the boundaries of the natural thinking and the natural way of doing things. He's so outside of that. He really wants us to be thinking outside of that box because that's what we need. That's what we're going to need out there. That's what changed my life. Not someone just convincing me to pray a prayer or something, or me intellectually accepting some kind of doctrine or something. The power of God came into my life and radically changed who I am. That's the gospel. The gospel is powerful. And we should be proclaiming it in that power. I said it Friday night. I'm so tired of seeing weak conversions. I'm so tired of it. Because I know that's not what the gospel does. Oh, just say this prayer and then hopefully, you know, things will get a little better. Really? Really? Do we understand the power of the message of the cross? And what that really does, and what happens to people. We have so watered down and minimized what God can do in someone's life and wants to do that I don't even think we believe it anymore. And I believe it grieves the heart of God. We need to really start believing God for that. Quit looking at yourself and what things look like. Get your eyes on God. Hear what God has already spoken. I was reading that verse that some churches just get real wacky about, and they start handling snakes in the church. That's not what the verse was talking about. He was simply expressing the power they would have when they would go out witnessing and proclaiming the gospel. And he's basically saying, nothing's going to stop you. Even if a snake bites you. And we saw that in Paul's life when he was in Malta. He's bitten by a snake, and the people are watching and waiting for him to die, and he doesn't die. And he preaches to the island, and you know, the island gets saved. It doesn't mean I go grab a snake and look. So silly, the things man does. But it doesn't discount the power and the authority God wants us to walk in proclaiming his gospel. And what happens when we're proclaiming that word and miracles are happening? People get radically saved. People take notice when these things begin to happen. I want to look at a couple of verses in Hebrews, kind of wrap it up here. It's describing Moses, and I'm going to end with this because the call God has on all of our lives is only going to be done one way. You know how? By faith. By faith. That's what Moses was struggling with God, when he was saying, but God on this, but God. But he got it. He got it because we read about it here in Hebrews. Okay? Even though he struggled. So God said, we're going to struggle with it. We're going to struggle at times when God's calling us out of our comfort zone. When maybe God's asking us to do something that we feel inadequate about. We're going to struggle with that. It's okay. God gets it. He understands. He actually sympathized with your weakness. But he says, but come to me. Come to me in that weakness. Come to me with your struggles. I had to do that Friday night. I had to go downstairs for a half hour on my face before God because I was struggling with my faith. And I knew I can't be in a meeting and not have faith. So I went to God. And he helped me. He understands that. He's okay with me, you know, getting my stuff out with him. But then he says, like he told Joshua, get up. All right, get up. My call hasn't changed. Now go do what you need to do. I'll be with you. You trust me. Just keep your eyes on me. And you know what he does? He actually does what he says. Right? Didn't he? Yeah. By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So at some point in his calling, Moses had to count the cost. And that's what we must do. Every believer, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are. Samuel was called as a young boy. David was called as a teenager. Some of you young people don't, you know, I'm going to wait till this. I'm going to wait till that. No, God's got a call on your life. From the moment you understand what the gospel means and you have appropriated that in your life, you have truly put your faith in Christ, it begins at day one. And God begins to prepare you for that call. And parents, parents, you should be releasing your kids to follow and do whatever God has called them to do. Do not hold your kids back from following God. Samuel's mother gave her son to God, and God called him. And we're to give our kids to God, to do with however He wants to do with them. Even if it's to go to Africa, even if it's to go somewhere and they might die. If that's God's will, if that's God's plan, why wouldn't we? If we understand the reward, Moses understood. It's not about this. My reward is in heaven. My hope is in something else. While I'm here, God's got a purpose for my life. While you are here, God has a purpose for your life. When Jesus calls us to follow Him, He said, we must count. This is going to cost us something. Actually, everything. Moses understood that, and he made a choice. He understood what it was going to mean. And you have to understand that. Otherwise, you won't go. You will not be able to walk in the calling God has for your life until you have made that decision. And some of you need to make that decision. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. A lot of people get this verse mixed up, and they think this is when he left the first time. But he was in fear when he left the first time, when he killed the Egyptian. This is talking about when they left Egypt with everybody. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how you do it, people. You get your eyes on Jesus. That's how you run the race. That's how you don't let the sin which so easily ensnares you, the weights that so easily burden you, you fix your eyes on Jesus. He left. He went. So it's not just a decision. We actually move. We go where God is telling us to go. He forsook Egypt. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. In other words, he trusted in God, not himself, for his spiritual life. What do I mean by that? We somehow think we got to get good enough to follow God, to do exploits for God. But this is signifying something we can't do. It was a picture of the blood of Christ, the Passover, where if whoever put their faith in that blood, it was really putting faith in God, that angel of death would pass them by. In other words, their rightness with God was based on the blood, not them. And to walk in God's calling, we by faith need to walk in the confidence we have in the blood of Christ, and that daily God, if we are confessing our sins, if we are walking in repentance, God's covering is on our lives. We are right with God. There's nothing hindering us. Oh, but no, you don't know what I'm... Stop it! It's the blood of Christ. It's having faith in what He did for you. It doesn't depend on you. God wants you to just simply trust in the finished work of Christ and to walk in it with your head up. And to go in His name with that testimony. Because if you don't, you'll go out like a Pharisee. And you'll just tell people they're going to hell and they need Jesus. You won't have the love of Christ. But if you go in that reality, you'll go humbly and meekness, understanding what a wretch you are. But praise God for His blood. Praise God, He's passed me over that. I have the righteousness of Christ over my life. And I'm just a fellow beggar like you. Let me tell you about a wonderful Savior that saved me from that spirit of death. And we point them to Him. Not us, our religion, our church. Jesus. Verse 29, By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So it's by faith our enemies are subdued. It's by faith God sets us free from the oppressor. God will be your banner. God will be your fortress. That was real to me last night. I believe walls crumbled last night in the spiritual realm. And we're going to go conquer in Jesus' name. By faith. So I want to end this morning with questions regarding these verses. I want to leave you with these questions. I really want you to ponder these questions, okay? If God has revealed himself to you, if he is calling you, if you know there's something more he wants you to do, maybe you don't know what that is yet, maybe you need to take time and get aside and get alone with God. I want you to ask yourself these questions. Have I truly forsaken my life in this world? Or am I still allowing the cares of this life to hinder God's call in my life? If you need to, write these down. Because these are things you need to take to God. These are things you need to take to God in prayer. Have I forsaken my life in this world? Or am I still allowing the cares of this life to hinder God's call in my life? Number two. Am I, by faith, choosing to get my eyes on Jesus, off myself, and on eternity? Or am I still introspective? You know, like Moses. Oh, but God, I can't. Oh, but I can't speak. But oh, look at what I've done. Oh, God. What are you looking at? Are you trusting in him? This is the next question. Are you trusting daily by faith in Christ and his blood for your righteousness? Or are you trying to be religious? Are you looking at what you've done? Are you like the guy standing up? I go to church, I do this, I do that, and you don't understand where your righteousness comes from. Are you trusting daily by faith in Christ and his blood for your righteousness? Next, are we by faith trusting him to subdue our enemies? Or are we listening and believing the false spies? About yourself? Oh, yeah, yeah, you're too hard. Or, oh, I've been like this. I was just talking to someone on the phone. And he started doing things he shouldn't have been at 11 years old. He's now maybe 20. And all I hear from him is, I've always been like this. I don't know anything different. I don't believe it'll ever change. You keep playing that over in your head. So I have him doing an assignment to write down all the promises that God has given us in Scripture about change and the cross and the blood. I said, you need to start looking at that instead of your record and all you have known. Because God is able to subdue your enemies, to subdue you. And he's able to do it out there. I am holding faith. I believe with all my heart God can radically change the worst person I can think of right now out there I encounter on the streets. How do I know that? He's been doing it for thousands of years. What? Why has it changed? The demoniac? Yeah, that was a tough case. A guy chained up, breaking his chains, naked, running around screaming, foaming at the mouth. How'd you like to find a guy like that out in the park? What are you going to do with him? Here, take this. Jesus, just a couple of words. Why do we limit God? Lastly, are we by faith appropriating the promises of God in our life? We need God's anointing. Moses could not have done what he did in his own strength. We're not going to do what God's called us to do in our own strength. We need the anointing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives. We took time last night, I just felt led at one point because I felt that we were stuck. There was a spiritual battle going on. And I asked whoever has the gift of praying in tongues. I said, we're going to do this under our breath. It's not going to be out of order. And those that don't have that gift, you just pray however you want. But I want you under your breath. I don't want anyone to hear you. And we're going to continue to worship, and we're just going to pray until this lifts. And we did that, and that's when everything changed in me. This power when God prays, when it's done in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be putting a message up on the next email by Jim Cimbala that I listen to. Very balanced, good, solid teaching on the Holy Spirit, but really praying in tongues and the whole tongues thing and how that's gotten so wacky and weird. And we get so afraid of that. But yet it's in Scripture. And yet, I know in my own personal life, it's been the greatest prayer times I've ever had. And I don't understand what God's doing at that moment, but I know something's different later. God has done something, and that's what the Bible talks about. God does things. We're saying things to God, spirit to spirit. And there's power in that. Don't be afraid of that. God is the one who empowers. And I'll just end with this verse. This was Jesus before he was received up into heaven, and he said this to his disciples. It says he was received up to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. And when they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord was working with them. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is calling us to go. And just like his disciples, where it says he was with them, the Lord was working with them. God's going to work with us. He's going to be in this with us. He was working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. God wants to reveal himself. He's calling you. He's calling me. Just like Moses to the impossible. But his promise is, I will be with you. I will go with you. I will empower you. I'm going to do this. So I just want to pray this morning for us. And I do want to take some time. We prayed for a lot Friday night. But if you want prayer, I feel like we need to take some time in prayer. And you just want prayer that God would equip you, that God would give you a gift or gifts that he can use in the body, that he can use to proclaim the gospel? Or you just want prayer. You're just saying, you know what? Here I am, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I don't want to sit on the sidelines. Lord, I want to know what you have for me. God, I basically want to say to you this morning, take my life. We'll pray for you. We'll pray that God will begin to speak to you. We'll pray that God will begin to equip you and anoint your life. Because I believe every person in this body is going to be used by God. There are going to be no bystanders in this church. It's not supposed to be that way. That's unscriptural. You're all members of his body. So Lord, I want to pray right now and ask, Lord, there's different people in here this morning. You're speaking to them. You've been speaking to them. They know, Lord, there's a calling on their life. Maybe they've already responded, Lord, but they understand they're going to need something more, Lord. I want to pray for them this morning. Anyone here, that's you. You know God is calling, but you know you need something more. Just lift your hand. All right, if you got prayed for last night, stay where you are. If you weren't here and you want prayer, I want you to come up. I'm going to ask you guys to move. God is calling you. He's got a purpose for your life. But you want prayer this morning because you know you need His anointing. You know you need something outside of yourself to walk in His call for your life. I'm going to ask the ladies to maybe lay hands on the women that are up here. Any men? And let's all agree for these ones as they're praying for them.